Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and I'd like to welcome you this morning to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We're studying the founding principles of America in light of the Bible, in light of history, and in light of present-day application. I'd like to say good morning to everyone, starting with my son. I'm honored to have him here in the radio station producing, turning the dials. Good morning. How are you, Noah?
I'm good.
Good. Beautiful day today, and thank the Lord to see the sun shining. I also would like to welcome all of our listeners right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, and also a replay of this radio broadcast on Saturday mornings on AM 690 WZAP. We appreciate our listeners over there. And also, it's come to my attention, there's a growing number of listeners on the church website, MountLebanonBC.org. Not everybody is able to sit down at the radio or even around the radio during the week, so we also offer this over the church website. You can go to MountLebanonBC.org. There's radio broadcasts there. There's sermons there from the church. I wish everyone could get a copy of two messages I preached, one, the coming insurrection, and the other one, the coming revolutions. And every day when I see the news, I see these things coming to pass. I preached the last message, I think it was the last Sunday night in February, the coming revolutions. And somebody asked me just the other day, they said, "Preacher, what's going on in Syria?" I said, "Well, I know this. I know that in the Bible, Absalom is a type of the Antichrist. He started a series of revolutions that never ended as long as Israel was in existence, all the way through the Old Testament. He's a type of the Antichrist, and he was a Geshurite, which is from Syria. And I believe there's going to be a series of revolutions that are just going to be ongoing, ongoing. The Bible talks about in the New Testament about the end times. It talks about the perplexity of nations, meaning no nation will have the answer, no nation will know what to do, and the Antichrist will be swept into power on a series of revolutions. He'll come in and say, "I've got the answer." And people will say, "Oh, this is great," and they will just they'll just be thrilled, and they will put him in a place of power. And so what we see happening today is the end times of the book of Revelation taking place before our very eyes. So we would like to encourage you to go to the church website, MountLebanonBC.org, and you can hear those messages there. Or if you just say, "Preacher, I don't have the internet, I don't even know what you're talking about," just get in touch with me, get the information at the end of the radio broadcast, and I'll try to get you a copy of those messages. But back in January, we began looking at the 28 founding principles as found in the book, The 5,000-Year Leap. And I encouraged, you can find this book on the internet everywhere. A lot of bookstores have it, The 5,000-Year Leap, Principles of Freedom 101. And the first time I read that book, I thought, there's a lot of good information in there. It's not necessarily based on the Bible. It's just a clear, unbiased look at history, the history of our nation. And in that book, there's 28 founding principles. And I thought it'd be interesting to conduct an experiment and see if these principles were also scriptural principles, principles that we could go to the Bible and say, "There is that principle in the Bible." And so I began a little thesis, a little program subject that I've carried out. I guess this is 10 weeks now we've been looking. Well, really longer than that, because we started back before the new year, but we started the individual principles the 1st of January. But the Lord gave me a little thesis, Civil Government in America, a Scriptural Historical Approach with Present Day Application. And we've been following that little outline now for 3 months now, going on 4 months. Civil Government in America. What is unique about what we're doing is the scriptural approach. We're looking to the Bible first and seeing if these founding principles are scriptural. You know, it's one thing, and you can have a lot of people come along and say, oh, America's a Christian nation. We're based on Christian principles, and the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, it's based on the Bible. Well, it's one thing to say that, but it's another thing to prove that. And that was my desire, just if for no other reason, for my own personal self. But my desire is to look and say, you know, really, is that really true? Is America based upon the principles that we find in the Bible? If it is, and I believe that it is, but if it is, it's worth preserving. It's worth fighting for. We can say, look, this is why our nation is blessed. If it is not based upon the principles that we find in the Bible, well, let's just go ahead, quit fussing about it, turn the whole thing over to the United Nations and just jump right in with the rest of them and, you know, let the UN run the thing and just tell us what to do. But the more I study and learn about the founding of our nation, the more I do see the hand of providence, and I mean that with a capital P, talking about the hand of our Creator, the hand of God, in the founding of our great nation. Our blessings today are not accidental. They're not incidental. We're not lucky. You know, a lot of people talk about that. It amazes me. Sometimes even Christian people will say, you know, boy, I sure was lucky. Well, I don't believe in luck. I don't find that in the Bible. I believe we're not lucky. I believe we're blessed for very specific reasons. Psalms 33 and verse number 12, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I didn't bring it with me today, but I've got a book I was reading last night, and it gave an example, and I forget the researchers, I forget the names of the people that did the actual research, but they went through 15,000 historical founding documents, books, pamphlets, tracts, speeches. They poured over from the founding of our nation, the very early years, 1700s, I don't know where they started, 1770 up to 1800, somewhere around in there. They went through 15,000 different documents, and they found that 34% of the references in those documents came directly from the Bible. And then the other three top referenced were Montesquieu, John Locke, and William Blackstone, who I've referenced all of them on this radio broadcast. They were all dedicated Christian believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they wrote about law, they wrote about freedom. I thought that was very, very interesting. But our nation is blessed because of what the Bible says. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Or Proverbs 14 and verse number 34, where the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth a nation, and our downfall is in direct proportion to our forsaking the Lord and forsaking righteousness, getting away from that which is right. Now, the past several weeks, we've been looking at the text that we find in the Declaration of Independence, and we've been pointing out individual scriptural principles in that. I'm going to begin reading today in the second paragraph, and I'll try not to get bogged down in all of this, but there's so much there. In the second paragraph, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. That's probably the last 4 or 5 weeks we've just been going through this line by line, word by word. I noticed this morning as I was reading over it again, it said, we hold these truths. And these men that signed the Declaration of Independence, there was all kinds of different religious beliefs among them. I mean, for the most part, they were Protestant or nothing. Some of them, I realize, were not Christians, but they were Puritans. They were Presbyterian. You know, there was a dip. They didn't all go to the same church. That's what I'm trying to say. But they did have many things in common. They got these not from their denomination, but from the Bible. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Everybody ought to be able to see this. All men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. This is a bedrock of our foundation in America. We believe that we have certain unalienable rights that were given to us by our Creator. Unalienable means I couldn't give away these rights if I wanted to. God has given them to us. Government is not the grantor of rights. God is the grantor of these unalienable rights. I was studying about this and I found out that in the year 2010, in the fall of 2010, Mr. Obama, I was talking a minute ago about our nation forsaking God, and found out that there were 7 times has been counted that he has referenced to the Declaration of Independence, and he has omitted the phrase by their Creator. Now, the first couple of times, they said, you know, that might have been he's flustered. You know, he got his words mixed up. But 7 different times he's omitted the prayer caucus in Washington, a group of congressmen that meet together and have prayer. They wrote him a letter about this. There was also another time he went to Indonesia, and he said in a speech over there that our national motto was E Pluribus Unum. Our national motto is not E Pluribus Unum, whatever it is. Our national motto is In God We Trust. And so I'm not saying that everybody in America is forsaking God, but there are certainly some in very high places that are trying their best to forget about God and his influence in the founding and in the keeping of our great nation. But what I want to look at today, there's a lot of things. We've looked at our unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We looked at last week that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. We said that God gave human government all the way back in Genesis chapter number 9. Where the Bible talks about over there the subject of capital punishment. Man is made in the image of God, and therefore we are protected. We're to be each other's protector as well. When first-degree murder takes place, there is a ultimate penalty that must be paid. So that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Here's what we're going to look at today, the 10th principle, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The 10th principle that we're going to look at today is that the God-given right to govern is vested in the sovereign authority of the whole people. Now, this debate had raged literally for centuries across the pond, over in Europe, over in England, and it boils down to this. The royal families in England, the kings, the queens, the dukes and the duchesses over there, they had contended and fought for years, for centuries, that it was the what they called the divine right of kings to rule over the people. They called it the divine right of kings because they believed that God had given them, that it was their God-given right to to rule over the people. And so nobody could dethrone them. They could not call for another government. They could not put one royal family out and another series of leaders in. They contended, you know, God put me here. You don't have any rights. I'm your ruler. I'm your authority. And my goodness, there's a reason why they called it the Dark Ages, because the kings, the priests, they kept the word of God from the people, and they ruled over them with a rod of iron. They kept people in darkness. And but they'd fought and they had contended over this thing for centuries. Now, the people, they contended that it was a God-given privilege to be a ruler, not a God-given right. Some of you may have seen the movie Braveheart that had Mel Gibson in it. He portrayed a real-life individual called William Wallace, who was in a 13th century Scottish knight. And William Wallace defied the King of England over freedom, over having freedom in Scotland. And some of you may have seen that, may have not seen that, but at the very end of the movie, we see there that William Wallace, he was finally captured by the authorities in England. He was tortured, and they tried to get a confession out of him that he didn't want to buck the authority of the King of England. And as he lay there and they tortured him, and they were trying to just get him to ask for mercy. And even in the movie, they were chanting, "Mercy, mercy," and the torturer leaned down to him there, and he said, I believe the prisoner wants to say something. They all thought he was going to cry out for mercy, and he instead cries out, "Freedom," and they chopped off his head. And, you know, we say, well, that was the movie. No, that happened. And many, many people down through the centuries lost their lives fighting for the freedoms that we just take for granted today. There was another gentleman. His name was Algernon Sidney. In 1683, King Charles II had him beheaded for simply saying that there is no divine right of kings to rule over people. Now, what does the Bible have to say about this? That's what I'm interested in today. What does the Bible teach us? Many places in the Bible we could go to point out the fact that it is God who sets up a ruler and it is God who takes down a ruler. But in the realm of that, we also find that God gives people a free will to choose the rulers that rule over them. But it is God that gives the authority and God who sets up a ruler, and it is God who has the ability to take him down. I'm thinking over in Acts chapter number 12 where King James, or not King James, but another man named Herod, he had James put to death. He had him beheaded, and he went out and he made a speech. It just overwhelmed the people. I'm paraphrasing just a little bit here, but they cried out. They said, "It is the voice of God. It is the voice of God." And boy, what a speech he gave. And the Bible says that because of his pride, God smote him and worms ate him and he died. And the gospel, the preachers that he was going to behead Peter, but Peter was set free out of prison, and he was able to go out and preach the gospel. But God is the one who sets up a king. He is the one who can take down a king. Authority comes ultimately from God. I went to bed last night thinking about this in my mind, and I almost couldn't get to sleep. I got to thinking about it, that phrase over and over, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. What does the Bible have to say about this? Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. I know that it is the Lord who gives the authority to be a ruler. But I thought about this last night. In John chapter number 19, we find the Lord Jesus on trial before Pilate. And Pilate is, he's a politician. He's trying his best to satisfy everybody. He's trying his best to satisfy the Jews. He's trying his best to satisfy the law. He does not, in his heart, want to crucify the Lord Jesus, although they're calling out for him to be crucified. But in John chapter number 19, Jesus on trial before Pilate, Pilate says this to Jesus. It says, "Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me?" Because he was asking questions to Jesus, and Jesus was not answering him. He said, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" And I like what Jesus said in verse number 11. It says, "Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." I like that. Jesus said, you couldn't have any power at all unless it came from above. And so even though authority to rule comes from God, God does not overrule the consent of the governed. Several places in the Bible we could go today to look at this. I'm going to just give a few. First of all, in 1 Samuel chapter number 8, in verse number 6, the children of Israel, they began to look at Samuel's sons. They were not impressed with Samuel's sons. Samuel was the prophet, and at that time Israel had no king, but the prophet came and spoke to the people on behalf of God. But Samuel's sons were not the type of men that Samuel was. And so the people began to look around at the other nations, and they came to Samuel when they seen that Samuel was getting old and seen that his sons would soon take his place. And the people came to Samuel, and they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel tried to talk them out of it. If you read over there in 1 Samuel chapter number 8, you will see that Samuel told them if they desired a king, what kind of king he would be, and he would take their lands, and he would take their sons, and he would take their daughters, and he would raise an army, and they would serve him, and they would have to support him with what would turn out to be taxes and levies and all of these things. And he told them everything that would happen, yet nevertheless, they said, in spite of it all, they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And that is exactly what God did. God gave them a king. God gave them King Saul to rule over them. And then, of course, we know later on, Saul, he was a disappointment. And it grieved even the Lord that Saul was the king over Israel. God chose him another man after his own heart. That was David. But if you read and study in the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king." It was, yes, the Lord chose David to be the king, but also the people chose David to be the king, and they anointed him. God gives us the free will to choose our rulers over us, and they have no power except the governed give it unto them. If you do not believe that today, that governments must derive their powers from the consent of the governed, that is what the Declaration of Independence says. That's the exact phrase. They must derive their powers from the consent of the governed. If you don't believe that today, just look what is happening in the Middle East. Look at Tunisia. Look at Yemen, Egypt, Syria, Jordan. Over the past weekend, in England, I read different accounts of numbers. One said, I think 250,000. Another report I said that I can't even believe that could be right, but 400,000. Maybe I'm remembering that. But there's a lot of people came out and protested in England, in London, anarchists, you know, breaking out windows, attacking the banks, all these things. If the people make up their mind they're going to revolt, then they will revolt and they will withdraw their allegiance from the government that is over them. And so governments must have the consent of the governed. If they don't, it'll be anarchy. It'll be revolt. It'll be revolution. And there's nothing, you know, they say to Gaddafi, you know, well, he's got to step down. He says he'll stay. If they've got a mind that they're not going to, he's not going to be their leader anymore, there's nothing he can do apart from killing all of them. He's gone. A lot of this depends on the character of leadership. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Hey, when the righteous are in authority, things are going good. The people are happy. They're happy with their government. They're happy with their situation in life. But the Bible says, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And I believe that is a good example today, or a good illustration today, of the character of leadership all throughout the world. The wicked are in authority. The people are mourning. They're sighing. They are disappointed. They are rejecting their leadership. What was it, Noah? He just looked that up, that number in London.
It says 250,000 here.
250,000 people came out. That'd be a little more than the police could take care of. But I seen some of the pictures of that, and my goodness, what a mess. I mean, spray painting, breaking out windows, all of this stuff. And I lived in England for 3 years. You know, it's a socialist country. And I didn't like it like I liked America, but I'm sure it's a whole lot better than living in the Middle East or somewhere like that. But there are those that, just like the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 30, there's a generation that crieth, give, give, give me more, give me more. And that's what they're protesting over, is the government is not giving them enough. What a upside down world we're living in. Let me share with you, I think I've got time to do this today, talking about the authority to govern is vested in the people, or as the Declaration of Independence says, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Let me read a little excerpt from a man named Elbridge Gerry. Have you ever heard of him, Noah? You may have. Maybe, maybe not.
I think so.
Elbridge Gerry. He was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence and the Articles of Confederation. He also was selected as the fifth Vice President of the United States of America under James Madison. He wrote a paper, Observations on the New Constitution. And this is some of the things he had to say. I wish I had time to read the whole thing, but I don't have time to do that. Some of the things he talks about in this are very good. If you could find it on the internet, that's where I found it, on a website called the 10th Amendment, I think was the name of that. The 10th Amendment Center newsletter. Anyway, it had this article by Mr. Gerry, and he said this about patriotism and the power of the people. He said, all writers on government agree, and the feelings of the human mind witness the truth of these political axioms, that man is born free and possessed of certain unalienable rights, that government is instituted for the protection, safety, and happiness of the people, and not for the profit, honor, or private interest of any man, family, or class of men. And I'll tell you what, that is a sore spot among many Americans today, to see that as our society gets poorer and poorer, and it is a direct result of bad decisions that are made in Washington and among leaders there, who continually get richer and richer because of their exalted positions. This is something that's been going on for over 200 years now. But anyway, he said that the origin of all power is in the people, and that they have an incontestable right to check the creatures of their own creation, vested with certain powers to guard the life, liberty, and property of the community. I thought that was very good. That will lead into what we're going to look at next week, because it goes on down in the Declaration of Independence, and it says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. And so we appreciate you listening in today. Noah's going to come on here. He's going to give the contact information. We would love to hear from you today. And, email us, blessingsofliberty@charter.net. And we get our email there and check it also. Go ahead, Noah. Thank you for listening.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wing Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. The church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can contact us through the church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That is MTLEBANONBC.org.